You know, people often ask me when I tell them about intentional living, they've never heard about it. They say, that makes sense. I mean, it kind of resonates. And then they ask, tell me a little more what it is and what do you do? And of course, I wear the one thing wristband. So from time to time, people will ask me what that means. And the power of intention is that it's more powerful than a goal. People have goals. We get up in the morning, stand in the shower, we have a goal. But an intention has some energy behind it. It has some motion. It has a level of commitment that can make a huge difference. And that's why we come back to doing one thing every day to move our lives closer to God's intention for our life. It's powerful. I'm Dr. Randy. Welcome to Intentional Living today. And I'm going back and sharing with you part two of a topic we discussed a few days ago. And I'm calling it sort of the basics of 101 intentional living. You know, remember 101 in college, you know, the basics? We're touching on that today and hearing some stories of people who are choosing to get intentional in their life. So come on in. We got a great show ahead. In fact, let's get to Carol, who's our first caller today from Arizona. Carol, welcome to the program. How can I help you to be more intentional in your life?
I love my husband more now than the day I married him. And just over the years, I've become bitter. And I try to not snap and say negative things, but I'm finding it very difficult. When he'll make a comment, I will come back with a negative comment, and I don't want to do that. And I'm having trouble stopping the negative that I have gotten myself or let myself get into. And just wanted to know, how do you get out of that mindset that you happen? I don't know how I even got there. Just wanted to know if there was an answer as to how to go about getting back to where I should be.
Yeah. Well, yes, there is, Carol. That's a good question, by the way. Where you have a conflict between your head, your heart, and your hands. That's really what's going on. Your heart is, you got some bitter feelings toward your husband. I'm not sure why, and you're not sure why, it doesn't sound like, or at least you don't want to admit it, but you have some bitter feelings. And so when something happens or some trait that he has or something that's bugging you, and then there's the part of you that is a believer saying, I shouldn't feel this way and I shouldn't respond this way. And I tell people, and if we want to change our feelings, sometimes we got to behave our way into changing our feelings. In other words, part of the intentional living process is changing our habits. We may not feel that we want to be loving toward a person, but we love them anyway. We may not want to be patient toward a person, but we're commanded to be patient with people. Not easy. And I would say, change your habits. And in the process, as you start loving your husband, biting your tongue, memorizing scripture, doing things to show love to your husband, allow God to speak to you in that process that not only are your habits being changed, but your heart's being changed as well. Because ultimately, you want the heart to change to follow the head and the hands. All right. Thank you for your call, Carol. I hope that's helpful. Let's go to Susan, who's on the line next. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was just taking notes on what you just said while I was waiting.
Well, good. I'm glad you called. Do you listen to Intentional Living regularly?
I do. And you know what? It's funny. I'm in my late 40s, and my parents were married 72 years, and I spoke to you earlier in the year about when it was relationships to talk about their amazing relationship. And my father just passed in the summer, and my mom just passed 4 days later after a broken heart. And you see that when people have been married that long. But my question to you is, I have some siblings who were not very kind to my parents.
Yeah.
And now that my parents are gone, they're raiding the house, taking as much material stuff as they can. And I'm just trying to figure how to walk with Christ, but not to be hurt by their actions.
Well,
because they really, really hurt my parents. And it hurts me because my parents are such wonderful people.
Well, I hear your heart, Susan. Did your parents not have a clear will and specify where things were supposed to go and have an executor for their estate and have all their paperwork in place?
Well, they do. They have everything in place. It's just that I don't have the heart to stop people from taking material things.
Who's the executor?
I am.
Well, all right.
And,
well,
I'm also the one who took care of my parents. So
yeah.
It's really hard because now everybody's coming around like little bees, and I just don't have the heart to turn it into an ugly situation because I believe in God, my parents believe in God, and I just feel that I just want to know how to come to grips with their actions.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
If your parent, if your dad, who was the tough one in the two, mom or dad?
Both. Amazing. Okay. Right. Best parents in the whole wide world.
All right.
Amazing.
But I mean, as far as if they were alive today and looking over your shoulder, what would they tell you?
They would shake their head and said, just let it go. It's not important.
You think so?
And that's what I told my siblings too. I said, if mom and dad, they're in heaven, but if they were watching you, how would you act? And they just shrugged their shoulders. And I know they're collecting things and gathering things because they're in pain for the time they didn't spend with my parents. And I have all the memories. But, you know, I pray for them all the time, but it just gets hard on your heart when you see such bad behavior.
Yeah, what I hear, Susan, is a conflict in your own head, because I hear you saying, mom and dad would say, let it go. Then why don't you let it go? And so there's a part of you that is not, you're not aligned with what you're really feeling, with what you think mom and dad would feel. Now, let me ask you a question, Susan. Did mom and dad specify how they wanted things done?
There's not much left because my siblings took most of their financial worth with grad school, divorces, all that kind of stuff.
Before they passed.
So my husband and I were taking care of them.
Okay.
Which is the greatest honor in the world.
Okay, what I hear, Susan, I'm just because you listen and I think you probably trust us here, if I can just challenge you, what I hear in your heart is resentment toward your siblings for the fact that you took care of everything, you had to provide all the support, and they weren't involved, and as soon as mom and dad are gone, they're showing up with their hands out.
You're right. I just feel they're cheating my parents.
Yeah, but you too. You're hurt personally too.
But just with their loss, I don't want anything. The whole thing is I hate the word honestly, but I don't need anything. I had my parents, but it's just in their legacy, I told myself I would carry on and be strong for them, but I didn't I didn't realize there'd be such behavior.
Yeah.
So I'm praying to God to help me just forget about it, because my parents would just say, don't let this get to you.
Mm-hmm. And it will, and it did. And it's going to be a hard process to get over. I've talked to a lot of people who've gone through this, Susan. There's something that happens at the point of death when parents are gone. The parents were sort of what's the word? Sometimes parents kind of hold the whole situation, the whole family together. And when they're taken out, all the power shifts, all the power relationships shift. And I would say to every parent today, don't leave a legacy of what Susan's facing today. Put it in print. One of the things I applaud for my mom and my dad, when my dad passed, my mom remained for several years, but she put everything in print. She had an estate plan. It was all laid out. She called the kids together at one point and said, what do you want out of my stuff? And she had just stuff. And we said, well, I want this thing and I want that thing. And she actually labeled them. You'd go visit my mother and she'd have little tags on stuff, you know. When I'm gone, Randy gets this piece of glass or whatever it is. But even with that, you get together afterward and we're all Christian, the three boys, the three of us. And we go, well, how'd you come you got that? And I didn't get that. It's just part of the human nature, I think, that goes on afterward. And so if we're talking about intentional living, Susan, your parents are in heaven. They've got their reward. They're not worried about it now, but you're left with some of the reality. And I tell people that, and this was true in, I was the executor of the estate for my father-in-law. And things went very well. We had no problems. But I took the approach that whatever my father-in-law told me and whatever he put in print is exactly what I'm going to do. And if nobody in the family likes it, tough. I was doing it because that's what Dad wanted. And all I'm doing is I'm alive to fulfill what Dad wanted. So put it in print, make it clear, and then to be intentional, do the next right one thing and lay it out. Secondly, I would say to parents, when you're picking someone from the family, if it's someone in the family, sometimes it's better to have someone outside the family, depending on, you know, your wealth and so on. Someone who's objective, who's simply going to say, upon death, I'm locking everything down and this is the way it's going to be handled. Because this kind of thing happens, Susan, and it's unfortunate because it's impacting your relationship with your siblings. And I know you don't want to think of it this way, but it's going to impact your relationship for many, many years. And so letting it go and praying and asking God is going to be a part of the process, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for you to get past.
Well, my parents laid everything out. My dad's an attorney. They're amazing. Everything's laid out. It's just that people are taking what they're not supposed to, and I don't want any of it. It's just when you see bad behavior, and my siblings
are not. Wait a minute. Let me stop you then, Susan. If your dad was an attorney and I'm not, so you might want to talk to the attorney about this, but if your dad specified how things were supposed to be, you honor him by doing what he put in print. It shouldn't be anybody just comes and takes something. If dad said, I want it done this way, then if it seems to me, and maybe we have attorneys listening who can weigh in on all this, but it seems to me that the responsibility is then to make sure that it's done the way dad intended for it to be done. And when that happens, that's a healthier way. That is intentional living. Okay, Susan, you may need to get some legal counsel on this. It sounds a little more complicated to make sure that you're doing it the way your dad intended for it to be done. All right, we're talking intentional living today, and maybe you struggle at times in the area of trusting God. Do you ever struggle? I mean, really trusting Him with whatever you're going through? Christian music artist Plum will be here in about 3 minutes to tell you what she's doing to be more intentional in her faith.
I kind of just really lived with a constant desire to be in a relationship. I was just unhappy, and I just realized that I wasn't getting what I could out of my life.
Liz's intentional one thing was to focus on what she already had rather than what she was wanting. And it gave her renewed energy and freedom.
So I decided to use the energy that I was putting into worrying about whether that guy was the one that I was going to be in a relationship with or things like that, and just to invest in the people I already had in my life. I feel like this weight has just been lifted off me. Like, I don't feel like I have to look for it. When you fix your eyes on God, everything else just kind of falls into where it's supposed to be. If you're fixing your eyes on a relationship, your eyes can't be on Jesus.
One thing you can do to live intentionally is to focus on what you already have rather than what you want. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to find purpose and peace and start living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
As I said before the break, maybe you struggle at times trusting God. We all do, no matter who we are. I mean, it's a part of the process of being a human, living in this world, every day making that decision to be intentional, to trust Him. And Christian music artist Plum shares a little bit more about how she chooses to be intentional in her faith. Take a listen.
I think what I've learned more recently of being more intentional about really listening to God's voice and then not just hearing it, but responding accordingly. It's really tempting to justify in your mind that, you know, when it's something that you don't want to do, that maybe that's not God's voice. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's, you know, and really responding to that and trusting Him to do what He says He's going to do, because there are things that sometimes I do not want to do. There are things that I do want to do that I feel like maybe I shouldn't. And so it's like, oh, but if I could just this, or if I could just, or if I just wouldn't. And you just have these conversations in your head to talk yourself out of doing or not doing what you want to do. And so I want to be more intentional about, if I feel Him speak, doing what He says, and then trusting Him with that.
I just let go. I feel exposed, but it's so beautiful, 'cause this is who I am.
That's a Christian recording artist Plum and how she chooses to be intentional with her faith. How do you choose to do that? You're always welcome to share your stories, your questions, your comments, your intentions, how you're decluttering your life, the habits you're building in your life, the celebration stories at 888-888-1717. We're in this together. Douglas is on the line from Michigan with a question. Hi there, Douglas.
Good afternoon, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Yes. My question pertains to time involved with a nonprofit group, typically non-religious, as far as partially money, but more so time commitment. And it seems like if you give time to a lot of nonprofits, that they want like more and more and more and more to the point where and yet certain people in the nonprofit are making well over $100,000 in that nonprofit, but they want more and more and more time where it becomes imbalanced and they don't really appreciate the volunteer. So how can a person get it across where you tell them, I'll give a certain amount of time and that's all I can do to prevent those from asking for more and more in time?
Well, you just have to set some limits, and I would be very intentional in if you want to volunteer, if you want to serve this nonprofit, you said non-religious nonprofit, you want to help them and you feel their cause is worthwhile, to say I'm available on Tuesdays or I'm available every other week, and be intentional in setting that limit, taking control of it. And if they continue to ask beyond what you're able, to be clear and saying that's it. And to have a good relationship, I have to stop at that point. Today we're talking intentional living and what is the process of intentional living. And you're welcome to always share your comments and stories with us at 888-888-1717. All right, let's go to, we're talking about, you know, this process, and one of the areas is developing the kind of habits that make a difference. I think Teresa wants to weigh in with a comment on that from Michigan. Tell us your story.
I lived my life, kind of far away from God, really, because I made so many excuses. I thought, well, I'm not really doing that. It's because of this other, it's this thing, and making excuses for doing things, that I know God has told us directly we shouldn't do. And, I've had a hard life. I have to admit that. I guess because I didn't make the right choices. But your radio station has helped me because just your title, Intentional Living. We're intending now deliberately to live without those excuses. I really wanted to say thank you because, the excuse making now has turned into intentional living, and I feel like I'm awake now, and I'm not asleep and not making those excuses anymore. I don't have the habit of making excuses anymore. I've left that, and it's still difficult. It's still hard, but I've learned to look to God and to pray to Him and concentrate on that, and God bless everyone that's struggling with the same thing. I hope they learn to find hope through this message because they can look to God as well.
Yeah, listen, that's good. We make excuses because it helps us feel better about it. I mean, look at the term good intentions. I think we have good intentions because it allows us to get through the day. I mean, at least we say, hey, I had a good intention to do that. We got to come up with a better term than good because it's not a good thing. And coming to a decision point and saying, I'm just not going to make excuses any longer. Now, to do that, just don't overcommit. Sometimes we commit to too many things. We can't say no. Commit to less and then follow through with the things you do commit to. I think that makes a difference. All right. So in just a minute or two, we got Stephanie on the line. We're going to get to her, and she's going to be talking about how mom, she loves her, but there's a little over-parenting going on. We'll get to that in a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Romans 5, 3, and 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, but we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, our confident hope of salvation. It's really interesting. And what Paul is saying to us is we really learn to rejoice during difficult times. That's not an easy thing to do. I put there as a little sub-note, we need to use our problems to grow. I mean, we're either going to grow through problems or we're not going to grow through problems. And I think in a ministry basis, when I'm talking, this helped me was doing this lesson, because I'm thinking as I talk to people on the radio and they're calling, talking about all the problems that they're having, it's easy to say, how can I help you get out of your problems? Instead of saying, what have you learned from your problems? What have you learned from this? What is God teaching you? Hey, that's an excerpt from the lesson this month, part two, on the topic of experiencing hope. And as I was thinking about my lessons for these summer months, I was thinking about what we say on the radio so often. We talk about experiencing hope and the power of experiencing hope and hearing stories of people who are experiencing hope. And maybe you're saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel much hope. I feel kind of hopeless a lot. And yet here's a giant supply of hope in Christ. It's a limitless supply. It's like a banquet table that has no limit to it. And yet sometimes we don't experience it for lots of different reasons. It could be tired. Maybe we wrestle with depression. Maybe we're just having a bad day. Maybe we're, well, any number of things. And yet that hope is there. And so our goal in this lesson during this month is to help you experience more hope. Because the Bible talks a lot about hope, but I found six verses that give us six really practical things that you and I can do to experience hope in our life. And so if you've received it already, I hope you're enjoying it. Share it with others. Our goal is not just to sit on it, but share it with others. We have video and audio going out to our members every month. And I would ask you to pray about coming and joining us if you're not a part of Intentional Living. Your monthly support is allowing us to make a difference in the lives of more people here and around the world through our podcast and through our radio stations. And so I say thank you for being a part of the ministry. How do you do that? You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2, or you can go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate there anytime. All right, let's get back to our callers. Stephanie's on the line from Virginia, apparently has a question for me. Stephanie, how can I help you today?
Hi, Dr. Carlson. As a Christian adult who loves her parents dearly, I still feel, especially in my relationship with my mother, that there's still a parenting element going on with her towards me. And I am married with 3 children, yet I still feel at times that she still tries to parent me and still tries to guide me in decision-making. Not so much just giving me advice, but really trying to steer me into a direction that may not be a right choice for me or may not be something I agree with. But as a Christian, and you want to honor your parents, and you know that they're speaking out of love, how do you set that boundary with your parents to be able to say, I am an adult, I am a 33-year-old woman with 3 children, and I can make a decision, even if it is one they don't agree with or understand? How do you draw that line in that relationship respectfully and honoring them still as your parents?
Well, it's a good question, Stephanie. You know, as I was hearing you talk to me, asking the question, that seemed pretty respectful to me. I mean, just what you said to me, call mom. And basically, mom, I'm 33 years old. I love you. I know you're concerned. You're a mom. You're always a mom. I know you share with the best interest. You have good intentions, right? Remember this little thing, Stephanie. We always judge ourselves by our intentions, while other people always judge us by their expectations. And so mom's intention is good. I'm just trying to be helpful. I'm just trying to be helpful. That's what moms are. That's what dads do. But the expectation is that you wouldn't be quite so helpful. You'd back off, because when you share too much, you're really saying you think I'm not smart enough to make these decisions, or I'm not growing up enough. And so how do you draw it? The boundary, I think you simply talk to mom and say, mom, I love you, but I just want to ask you, please back off. I don't want your suggestions. Remember, any suggestions that are not been asked for are always considered criticism in life. And so you're perceiving it as criticism, but that's not the intention. But share that and be very clear with her. And if she doesn't respect that boundary, then you're probably going to have to put some space, not be quite, when it comes up, say, mom, if we're going there, I just got to give some space because I really don't want the input today. You got to be a little tough love with mom. And I don't think that's dishonoring. In fact, when we honor someone, we tell them the truth. You know, intentional living today, we've been talking about some of the process of intentional living, doing the next right one thing, knowing what our intention is all about. We didn't get too much into decluttering our lives, but the fact is that most of us get trapped with this step. We get clutter in our life, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, relational clutter. And we cannot put good things into our life until we take out some of these things that are blocking the progress of taking our lives to the next level. And so whatever some of the clutter points are in your life, anything from a pile of paper to unneeded relationships that are not healthy for you, declutter those areas of your life. And when you do, you're being intentional. You're always welcome to call and share your story with us. We love your celebration stories. Do we have time for one? Let's see. Jonathan wants to celebrate from Arizona. What's going on in his marriage? Go right ahead, Jonathan.
My story is basically I got married when I was 17 to my wife, who was also 17 at the time. We're both 22 now. But for the first 4 years of our marriage and before that, I was addicted to pornography. And it really just tore me down every single day inside, and living with all that guilt and all that pain finally just boiled over, and I let it all out. I told my wife, and it's just by the grace of God that we're still married today. She's completely forgiven me, and she trusts me again, which is a miracle that can only be attributed to God. So I just like to say, if it wasn't for God and intentional living, I would not have ever been able to come out with that to my wife. And I'd still be feeling that today.
That's great. Thank you, Jonathan. Love ending with a celebration story. By the way, if you have a celebration story, you know, God's done something pretty amazing in your life, and you know that it was His work, but you trusted Him and stepped out and got intentional in how you thought or what you did, tell us what your celebration story is, and we'd love to put it on the air, okay? Share on our comment line. 888-888-1717 is the number. By the way, if you'd like to take our One Thing Challenge, it's free to you. It's online. We have a 4-video course, each about 8 or 9 minutes long, helping you set goals, helping you knock down roadblocks, developing new habits. It's available to you as it has been to thousands of others around the world. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, and it's there for you, theintentionallife.com. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow right here from Intentional Living.